Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call tonight. This is November the 29th, the year 2001. We're getting right along, and soon we'll have 2001 finished, and we will start into the 2002 series, and time it's just bounding and leaping right along. Praise Yahweh. And we are thankful tonight to have you in our listening audience. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing this truth with your fellow brother or sister. And thank you also for your support and all of your encouragement. We feel very, very, very encouraged about the situation for Jacob Israel, as we know that we're on the winning side. It looks dismal from a natural standpoint, because it seems like that we are being closed in daily, boxed in with the advancement of the encroachment of the New World Order. And tonight we're going to get into Scorpio, and that is a great battle within itself in the heavens. And so it's very fitting tonight to hook into Scorpio and see the great figure of a gigantic insect, this noxious and deadly creature with its tail and stinger uplifted in anger as if in striking. And in the minor constellations, of course, we have the war going on with the episodes of the man with his foot on the stinger or the head of the scorpion, and we have an ensuing battle here, praise Yahweh. And of course, we are going into this battle with the purpose of displaying that our Redeemer, the one that paid the ransom price, and all of these episodes are written in the sky contract by Yahweh, that a man could be without excuse. Now, if you turn to the book of Romans and read chapter 1, verses 1 through verses 20, you will understand that the Bible said that the creation or the Godhead is, from a standpoint of being able to see it, is clearly seen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't hide from this truth. The Father has placed the pictorial graph, if you will, above your head for you to look up into the heavens and to understand the end from the very beginning. So, you see, you will be without excuse. The Bible said the Godhead and the manifestation of this is clearly seen. But the Bible said they did not, they, meaning man, did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, God gave them up to vile affections, to worship the creature more than the Creator. And ladies and gentlemen, we are in that phase of this last day scenario, as we stand on the threshold of the final, the climactic beginning of the end. I believe that we are now in the final phase of the beginning, not the end now, but the beginning, as we go down into the latter times expressed in prophecies of the Scriptures. Now, also in the last days, now this could go on for however how many generations that the Father chose to express. They may be many more of the beings that need soul experience or earth experiences to come into the earth and incarnate and experience the things that is necessary for the training of the soul. So you see, Yahweh is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, with one day being as 1,000 years. So if he's coming tomorrow, he could be here in 1,000 years. And I guess probably everybody listening to me tonight if I said that he would be here tomorrow or in one day he would come and you understood I was talking about 1,000 years, you would probably all agree that he would probably come before 1,000 years is finished of earth time. Now, if that's true, and I'm going to show you something here, if that is true, then the generations that are born or to be born, he's going to have to really speed up time or he's going to have to shorten time. But the Bible says he will cut short the time, meaning the Bible says that he will intervene at some point because of the near extinction of his family here upon the earth. Now, he's coming to protect his family. His family will be in dire straits in the end time scenario as painted as in Armageddon. And I read you last night the Adventures of Daniel as he painted a dismal picture for the true church or the true house of Israel. We were under constant attack, bombardment, death, persecution, torture. And ladies and gentlemen, she is due to start, and she will start in this nation, the last stronghold of resistance against the New World Order. And we are promised under George Washington's vision, and Demetrius Dimmerman and others have prophesied, along with myself, Edgar Cayce, one of those that prophesied. I have respect to his prophecies. And many have prophesied that we are now nearing the climactic end time terminal generation. And if that's true, then you better get about your business. You don't have much time. Have you repented? Have you been baptized in the great, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yahweh? Have you turned your head up to look up into the heavens that declares his handiwork? Have you seen the expanse? And have you looked at the picture graph that he's got written for you? Tonight, let's go into Scorpio. In this constellation, we have the figure of a mammoth scorpion. Its tail is uplifted as in anger. It appears to be trying to strike the man, Ohitius, who is struggling with the serpent. The man, in turn, is crushing the scorpion with his foot placed over the heart. Does that tell you anything? Does that bring back Genesis 3:15? Was it already recorded? What would happen, praise Yahweh? Now, the name of this constellation in Hebrew is Ereb, and in Arabic, El Arab, which means the scorpion, also in Arabic, the wound in conflict or war. David uses the root of this word where he blesses the Mighty One for teaching his hands to war. And the word war in Arabic or in Hebrew is Arab. Psalms 144:1. In the Coptic, this sign is assiduous, which means the attack of the enemy or the oppressor. Now remember, when the Son of Man came into the earth, when he was incarnated into a flesh body, God with us, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was, or the Logos in Greek, was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So then, the enemy, the oppressor, he knew him, and so he immediately tried to do battle. Remember when the young lad was wrapped in swaddling clothes through the constellation of Virgo, and the depiction of the woman with the branch, the olive branch in one hand and the wheat chaff in the other? Isn't this descriptive identity of the true church of Israel? We are sheep, and we are the wheat of the earth, if you will, of his pasture, and we are also of the olive tree, according to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. And so then, all these things are indicators. They're signposts along the way into the heavens, as the Father came into the earth to do battle with the scorpion, or the serpent. Praise Yahweh. In the zodiac at Dendera in Egypt, Scorpio is represented by a monster serpent with 100 heads called the Python. Oh, my. Scorpio has was everywhere an unfortunate, cursed, and warlike constellation. Now, let me lay the scene for you here, ladies and gentlemen, and show you that this is true in descriptive form of the constellation of Scorpio. Remember that when he was born, immediately Herod sought to find out where the young child was, that he might go worship him. Now, of course, in the second chapter of the book of Matthew, it tells the narrative here of how that he asked the wise men to come back and inform him where that this king was at so that he could go worship him himself. Ladies and gentlemen, he had it planned in his heart because he was jealous, because he did not want to give up Herod, did not want to give up the presidential or the power or the godhead, if you will, of the earthly kingdom, and he was ready to do battle. And remember, he went out and slew, actually cut off the heads of all of the infant males in Israel, 144,000 by count, if we read into the Revelation, where these that were beheaded became his future bride in the first resurrection, and all of it planned perfectly into the consolation of Scorpio. The scorpion was the perverse one or the lawless one. The scorpion is a deadly enemy, as we learn in Revelation chapter 9, with poison in its sting. The sting is called in Hebrew Lashaf, and in Chaldee Lasha, both of these which means the perverse. The stars in the tail of the scorpion, also known as Lasha or Lashat, the brightest star in the heart of the figure and one of the reddest stars visible to the naked eye, bears the ancient Arabic name of Antares, which means the wounding or tearing. It is also known as the scorpion's heart. So Scorpio has so much figuratively information. These are the things, the allegorical expanse that the Father painted in the heavens before he ever came. He knew that he would do war with the serpent, praise Yahweh, and the figure and the names and the indications speak of a most magnificent conflict and a deadly wounded in that conflict. Such a conflict is clearly set forth in the scriptures between the serpent and the woman seed of Genesis 3:15. Starting with the attempt to destroy all of the males of the seed of Abraham in Exodus chapter 1, the efforts of Alanthea to destroy all the royal seed in 2 Kings 11 and 1, hurried slaying of all the male babies in Bethlehem. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the serpent knows. He knows them that are his. Well, likewise, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit knew them that were his. This battle did not end at the cross, ladies and gentlemen, but extends today to all those who are blood kin or chosen in the kingdom of Yahweh. Isn't that marvelous that we are found worthy to suffer shame and to be hated and despised and to be killed in some cases, in prison in others, and evilly entreated just like our Messiah? Now, if you're laying on a flower bed of ease, you are in the wrong faith. You are serving the wrong name. If you are in a bell box and you're prospering and doing good, then you belong to that faction, the Bible says, that will cast the truth to the ground and prosper. My teachings in this area to the Christian church is rejected because they have been vaccinated against the teachings of the consolations, saying that it is witchcraft. And yet Daniel, one of the magnificent, one of the learned, one of the wise men, along with the wise men that found the Messiah, they use this astronomy and astrology to read and to direct themselves toward the Creator. You yourself must have the same knowledge embedded within you to find him. Therefore, we are going to start now in Serpens, the Serpent. This is the first minor constellation within the constellation of Scorpio. Scorpio itself consists of 44 stars. It is a double eight. This is where the battle of the cross was won. And then after his resurrection, the true battle for the rest of the new beginners, those that had a new beginning in their life, meaning you and me, we are now in the process of battling the serpent ourselves. So therefore, the 2-8 or the 4-4 to the 8, which gives us a new beginning. Now, if we look at the scorpion, it struck the woman's seed. This battle, if we look at it, has not ended. Ladies and gentlemen, the Satan and his angels are out to destroy. And remember, as he worked through Herod, the royal king, Herod, Caesars, and all these others, Satan today is in the kingships. I hate to say this, but he has taken over through evil intent, power, jurisdiction, money. Every one of these rich beings, they bow, as did Caesar, to the Christian onslaught of faith, and yet he secretly practiced his own brand of mythology behind the scenes, and so most of our leaders do today. Now, let's get into the first minor of the constellation in the constellation of Scorpio, and we get to Serpens, the serpent. It consists of the two constellations together of 134 stars, two of the second magnitude, 14 of the third, and so on and so forth. Here we have showing the figure of a mighty man wrestling with a gigantic serpent whose head is trying to reach a crown in the constellation of Corona in the constellation of Libra, as I gave you last night, closing out. This man is grasping the serpent with both hands. Now remember what he says in Mark 16 and 18, I shall give you power to take up serpents. Ladies and gentlemen, that scripture is written into the heavens in a descriptive form, showing you that he himself was a serpent handler. Now, I'm not talking about a natural snake. Most of these ignorant, poor, uneducated, spiritual-filled people out here taking up these deadly snakes to try to prove their faith proves nothing but their ignorance. Thou shalt not tempt Yahweh. Now, I'm sure that Yahweh has enough power to protect you from a snake. He has the power to protect you if you're standing on a railroad track drinking a cup of poison, that the train or the poison will hurt you. I know he has that, but don't tempt him into having to display his power unless you have faith to overcome. I have grown up here in the hills of East Tennessee and seen many, many, many of my comrades fall dead as they were bit with deadly snakes. And so this is very sad that some people misinterpretate Mark 16 and 18. Now then, look into the heavens and you will see the true picture of a true serpent handler. The Bible said, rejoice not that the spirits, talking about, I'll give you power to tread on scorpions. There it is, Scorpio. That's what he was talking about, ladies and gentlemen. And most people think he was talking about a natural thing. This was wanting you to look up to the constellation of Scorpio. I give you power to tread on scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and thou shalt take up serpents. So if you look up into the constellation of Scorpio, get your mind in a spiritual fix and know and understand what the Father was trying to tell you. Just like in Luke 22:10, he said, go find a man bearing a pitcher of water. Look for the age of Aquarius, when you will find that the final supper will be served. Praise Yahweh. And that was his identification code, and only the wise can understand. Now, notice this man as he is handling this serpent, which is trying to reach to the top of his head to take the crown of Corona off his head. The man is grasping the serpent with both hands, disabling the monster by his superior power. Oh, hallelujah. You know what he said about the serpent, ladies and gentlemen, that old devil? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Now think about this. Could you reach up into the heavens under a terrible thunderstorm with a thunderbolt or lightning as it is shaking the heavens? Could you reach up and hold it? That's what he was talking about. I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Satan fell and descended into the hell, into the earth from the heavens, and it's all written in the stars. This whole war, this whole episode, this whole transition of process of evolution is for you and your learning. If you will just take a little time, fast and pray, study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. With one foot lifted from the scorpion's tail as it is stung into his heel, he is in the act of crushing the serpent's head with his other foot. And isn't that Genesis 3:15, where he said, it shall bruise your heel, and thou shalt bruise his head? Look in the consolation of Scorpio. There it is, depicted in detail, the Genesis 3:15 scenario. He came, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the serpent bit him in the heel. Yes, it wounded him unto death. But glory. For the first time, we had power as sons of Yah to raise again. He rose, conquering death, hell, and the grave. The man appears as the one who holds power over the serpent and over death, holding and disabling and destroying them through himself, wounded in the conflict with them. Krishna, the Hindu, God called an incarnation of Vishnu, is found represented in a similar fashion in two ancient sculptured figures. I told you that many of the copycats of mythology back into antiquity tried to pick up on this, and therefore there is many versions of these sun virgin births that are now displayed in mythology. But be not deceived. Yahweh wrote it in the heavens. Look there for your information. Well, we're down at the bottom there. We're going to come back and cover the other two minor constellations as we get into more of a mystery of Scorpio. My, it's fascinating. It is wonderful, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. We'll bless you with a word. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We're having a good show here tonight. I'm telling you, this is awesome downloading of information about the constellation of Scorpio. It just makes me wonder in amazement how that the true mighty one could do all this in the heavens by stars placing, and for you to see the diagram and the picture graph that he is placed in the heavens to give you understanding of how much love that he had for his family that he brought down here to go through these trials and tribulations to overcome, even as he did. Now, we're going to the final. We've done covered the serpent constellation in Scorpio, and then the other one was the mighty one and the constellation. And of course, the Greeks all give them pagan names. I don't like to get into those pagan names, because in mythology, this is more than mythology, ladies and gentlemen. This is truth. This is provable truth in Scripture. And we know that this man in the constellation of Scorpio, wrestling with the serpent, was the Messiah brought forth. As he came on earth to do battle, Satan dared him. He said, you wouldn't dare. You wouldn't come down here and free your children. I have them in a prison. Remember, he kept even those in the first world that perished in prison. The Messiah knew where they were at, because the Bible says when he came down, he first descended after he died into the lower parts of the earth, and there he preached to the souls of them that were disobedient in the days of Noah. They had been bound, ladies and gentlemen. The key had been stolen by Satan to the spirit world, the inward kingdom, where he was the jailer, if you will, or the warden, with the contract of sin hung over your head. Well, here came the mighty one, the Messiah, as a little tender child. He had to be hid himself and protected by the angelic beings that watched over him day and night by warning his parents in dreams and visions to where to go, how to hide the pursuit of the serpent. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You need to take lessons from the Holy Spirit directing even of the Messiah when he was here, and then when he grows up. Listen, praise Yahweh. The Bible said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So did the Messiah. The Bible said he grew in knowledge and in stature by learning obedience to the Holy Spirit's will. Not my will, Holy Father, but thy will be done. The Spirit had already directed it. It was already written in the consolations. He could not, I'm talking about the Son, in his own earthly will, he could do nothing against that will that had been pre-written in the heavens, for he said, I must, he repeated every time, I must be here to do this and do that, because it was written in the Scriptures that all these prophecies would be fulfilled. Now, the third and final consolation in the minor of Scorpio has this mighty one named Hercules. Now, in this consolation, it consists of 113 stars. Now, what does that mean? The 13 tribes and the one Yahweh. That's the way I look at it. Of course, if you reduce the numerical value of the number 113, you get 5. And what do you get when you get the word or the number letter of 5? You get grace. Praise Yahweh. And the figure in this constellation is of a mighty man down on one knee with his heel uplifted as if wounded. How about that? He wears the skin of a lion. Oh, praise Yahweh. If you will go and get the correct version of the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 5, if you will get the Greek rendering, the true Greek rendering, you see it's been misrendered in the English text of the King James Bible. But if you would like to get the correct text, read verse 5, and it says, "Behold the Lamb, this mighty one, Hercules here, that had the skin of a lion." Now, how could he put the lion's skin if he didn't conquer the lion? And that's exactly what he said he would do in the fifth verse of the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. Behold, I overcame the lion and opened the seals. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. You see, there's a lot of deception going on to hide these very truths that we labor so hard and so long to get to you. These are valuable little nuggets that we throw out to you. And don't take them lightly, friends. You need to get up off your behind and check it out. It's your soul that's laying there on the couch, too lazy to turn over and spit for the difference, as the old saying goes. But you better get about your Father's business. You better spring into action. You better repent, and you better be baptized in this magnificent name, and then you can overcome the lion. Praise Yahweh. In his right hand is a three-headed creature. Severus, this is the serpent. Now it becomes a three-headed god. And what else is it that the Catholic Church brought in to being a three-headed god? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, separate but inseparable. Nonsense. He was a god in the creator beginning. He was God as he manifested himself as a man. And he was God now in the eternal spirit. That don't make three gods, ladies and gentlemen. It is one God. Let me give you a little information here about that. Let me give you an analogy, so to speak. Let me take an egg from a hen, let's say, from a chicken. And you take this egg and put it in your hand. We're talking about one egg. That one egg laying in your hand has three different layers of substance to make up its whole. It has the shell, of course, and the yolk and the white of the egg. Those are three, but it's only one egg. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three. Read it for yourself. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Most people quote it as one. They don't say that. Are. There's a difference between are and as. These three are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is the same person, ladies and gentlemen, just three manifestations of his being and three time slots that he operates from the throne. Now then, if you look in the Scriptures, there's three things that bear witness upon the earth. Water, there you go. and you say, well, I don't need that. Well, you're going to leave out one of the recipe ingredients that Yahweh chose to put in there and make yourself a liar and send your own self through your stupidness and your stubbornness and your disobedience. The Bible said, I'll give the Holy Spirit to them that obey me. You show me one time where anybody ever got the Holy Spirit without water baptism, and then I will, well, what will I do? I'll eat the word that you read it off of if you're reading out the same King James I am, because it's not written. You said, well, on the day of the, well, in the 10th chapter of Acts, they got the Holy Ghost. That's true, before they were baptized. But see, it doesn't make any difference if you get the Holy Ghost before you baptize or after. That's not the question here. The question is, you got to have them both, born of water and the Spirit. Remember what they did when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Peter witnessed that the Father had given them the Holy Ghost, just like that they had received it on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But listen to what he said in the 48th verse of the 10th chapter. After they received the Holy Ghost, he said, can any man forbid water? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. You see, Yahweh will not accept any sacrifice, and you are to present yourself a living sacrifice, and he won't accept anything that ain't been washed and cleansed with fire. So you got to have the Holy Ghost with cleansing and the Holy Ghost with water. Praise Yahweh. Now, according to these accounts, Hercules, the Mighty One, as he stands with his heel lifted in the air as if wounded, and of course we know that that is exactly what happened, ladies and gentlemen, that he was wounded in the heel, wounded for our transgressions. And yet, see, this Achilles heel, it was a point that it was a weakness of man. Yes, we are susceptible to the wiles of the devil, and Satan can take us captive at his own will. He did for millennia of training, incarnating, and then being trapped in the underworld. But then here come the Creator himself, the only one could strike away the penalty of sin and pay the deficient price was Yahweh himself. Lowering himself into a flesh body and finding himself in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became willing and obedient even to the death, there's the wound in the heel. But glory, 3 days later, he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and he said, behold, I am, this is Revelation 1:17 and 18, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Now, who are you going to run to, ladies and gentlemen? Are you going to run down to your local dispensary for salvation? Or are you going to obey the word? Are you going to find some prophet, some teacher, some true preacher that will baptize you in the correct, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yahweh, and then you are set for and met for the master's use? Praise Yahweh. Now, let's get into some of the prevailing theories that is held by these astronomers and astrologers as they look into the heavens and this Greek mythology as they placed into these heavens these descriptive forms of these animals and some of the names that they have given them. These are to take away. They're to take away your true understanding of exactly what happened. Now, if it was written as I am teaching it, if it was placed in the bands of the constellation, and then you would use the descriptive forms of the Messiah, not some Greek mythical god with a false name, but someone that has a true name. Now, the Bible says that this is a name that was set at naught of the builders. Of course, they, we're talking about the wise, these that have changed the inversion of the circle in the band of the constellation as they enter in Aries, the realm, 4,000 years ago instead of 2,000 years ago as they should have in Virgo the Virgin. You see, it depends on where you start your count in this circle of where you come out correct. Now, if you start with Virgo, remember the constellation ends with Leo the Lion. And so if you go from a Virgo, the constellation Virgo, and go clockwise around, you end up at Leo, which is itself next to Virgo. Now, that is a complete circle of thought. Now, if you put everything in proper order, and the Bible said, let all things be done in decency and in order. We need wise men on the scene to preach and to teach the things that are necessary for you to have an understanding that you might be saved from this untoward generation. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot being left out today that the church world of bell box preachers are not telling you. I dare to go where they won't walk. I talk what they can't talk, and I preach what they can't preach because I've got something in me to preach the gospel with. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I am not afraid to use it. I have no fear of my life. I have no fear of being run over by a Mack truck. I have no fear of a snake biting me. I don't have any fear of man hurting me with a gun, although I may be killed tomorrow. Praise Yahweh. The Bible said that the righteous are taken to from the wrath to come. So what? I give my life. Would you not rather give your life in honor? Would you not rather give your life worthily to suffer for him and honor him, being put to shame and being humbled yourself? Would you not rather exalt his name and let it be held high through your life's actions rather than getting some kind of a deadly disease and dying a horrible, slow, painful death in agony and humility? I don't want to die of cancer. If I'm going to die, I want to die for a noble cause. I want to die for the man that died for me because he said, I lay down my life for my sheep, and greater love hath no man. And this is what the consolation of Scorpio is telling us, that he came in through Virgo the Virgin. He became weighed in the balances, and Satan said, this is him. Now we've got him. Let's kill him. And so the battle ensued through the consolation of Scorpio. What a battle. What a royal battle as this great god, Satan, this serpent depicted as a serpent, crafty, wise, he was there to attack Hercules in the Greek, but Yahweh Shua in the Hebrew. He was in the heavens wrestling with the serpent. And as I have indicated, he said, I'll give you power to tread on scorpions and on serpents. He was talking about the consolation of Scorpio. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, this truth is so amazing. His pathfinding out. There are so many awesome truths that if I had time to go into the detail, the little hidden nuggets that I like to get into in times and teach. I have a two-hour VHS video on the consolation of Scorpio. I'll send it to you for a love offering of $15. And I will pay the shipping cost to get it out there to you. So if you'd like any of the, there's 12 in the series, actually 13. I use one to explain the consolations, a two-hour teaching video on the 12 consolations, and then I break them down one by one on a two-hour format video teaching, and you can have it to your address for $15. Postpaid, praise Yahweh, and we're offering a special this week because we're actually preaching and teaching on the series. First time that we've ever got into the series of the consolations, and we are now in the third step here of the process, and we are having a lot of enjoyment of preaching and bringing these wonderful truths to you. Now, if you'd like to have it, simply address your letters, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, let me spell Tazewell for you. T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. That's New Tazewell, N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, Tennessee, T-N-37824. Now, that'll get your letter and correspondence to me here, and I will process that as soon as possible. And get that back to you, praise Yahweh. Now, we ship as far away as England. We have shipped tape shipments to some good folks in the British Republic of England, praise Yahweh, a lot of hungry souls in Spain and in other foreign countries, Germany, and places of that nature. We have sent out this information. And we are so delighted that our voice is being heard around the world and that many are responding. Praise Yahweh. We got a brother that will be coming from Spain very soon to be baptized, and we will announce that information on our website, our email site. If you're on our email address, then you need to contact me for the information if you'd like to be here when this brother is baptized. They will only be a few of us here and the local area, but he's coming here to be baptized. If you'd like to come, we could have people coming from all over if they could get here. So if you'd like to come and be a witness to this man coming from Spain just to be baptized in this magnificent name of Yahweh, what a glorious event. We've had people come from everywhere. Just many, many states here in the states have come to be baptized, and more coming. We got people coming out of Florida that are inquiring about baptism in the great name of Yahweh. If you'd like to come, why don't you just humble down? If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, see, that's what it's for. You say, oh, buddy, I've been baptized in every mud hole from here to Cincinnati and back. That doesn't matter. What matters is, have you done it right? When you do it right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the first time. If it's the first time you do it right, it'll be the only time. If you do it 100 times and you do it wrong, you've got to do it 101. Get it right. That's what you're sent down here to do. And remember, Acts 4:11-12, there is none other name under heaven given among men that has any salvation. So if you want to get the name called salvation, it's the only one I know. It's the only one I advertise. It's the only one I pay homage on allegiance to. It's the only name I baptize in. I don't use no fancy titles. I just come right out and tell you that I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Almighty Creator. And I don't leave you guessing what that name is. Praise Yahweh. I can feel the power right now in my life and the glory of the Holy Ghost as it raises up in my soul. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my telephone number, if you'd like to call me tonight, is area code 423-626-2172. That's 212172. So just call me here tonight after the broadcast, praise Yahweh. Be delighted to talk to you. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I live in Michigan. Well, we got a brother that's in Michigan, and him and his wife is coming for baptism when they can get a break in the action. Praise Yahweh. You see, you don't live too far away. I mean, you go to see the Grand Canyon. But ladies and gentlemen, would you drive from here or wherever you're at to Tazewell to keep from going into the deep abyss of hell? Would you save yourself like the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 40-41? Save yourself. You can do it, ladies and gentlemen, but simply obeying the Scriptures. And that's all it takes for you to do to redeem yourself. You see, many will be cast out. They're going to say, well, now, Lord, I didn't know you meant that, glory to God. I didn't know I was going to have to go down to that old preacher down there in that old river down there where he's at and get baptized. Well, that's what the old leprous fellow over in Syria thought when Elijah gave him instructions to get baptized in Jordan and to go dip seven times. And yet he kicked about it and kicked on the thought about having to humble down this great man to come down out of his country. He said, we got cleaner rivers up here in Syria than they've got down there. Doesn't matter. It's just obedience to the word. If Yahweh said to smear peanut butter upon you and then put Smucker's jelly on you, then that's what I do, praise Yahweh. But he says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's promised to you. Now, you make your election and calling sure, and you obey that form of gospel. You get on down here from wherever you're at, and Pastor Buddy will baptize you. Shepherd's Call, Scorpio, remember the great war in the heavens, ladies and gentlemen, and remember who won. We'll see you tomorrow night with the continuation of our series on the consolations. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.